Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer Podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. This week, we spoke with the co-founder of the National Pediatric Cancer Foundation, a nonprofit organization dedicated to funding research to eliminate childhood cancer, as well as two families who have benefited from the research being done in this area. In 1991, two mothers, Melissa Helms and Rissa Trammell, faced every parent's worst nightmare. Their two infant daughters were undergoing treatment for cancer. With advances in research, both of their daughters survived. However, their journeys did not end there. They founded the Pediatric Cancer Foundation. For the first 15 years, the NPCF ceded grants to various hospitals in Florida, but the organization just kept growing and growing. It was then that Melissa Helms said that the innovative collaboration called the Sunshine Project came about.
In 2005, you know, you kind of look back and go, wow, what have we really accomplished? And that was the part that was frustrating and said, you know, the wheels of progress in research turned so very slowly. And it was frustrating and began to look around and hear a lot about collaboration. We heard, you know, in the spinal cord world and in prostate cancer and in different, you know, medical diseases you saw, or illnesses, you saw collaboration. It was making a huge difference, as opposed to our public publish-or-perish mentality of our medical community. And so I set about talking to researchers and saying, hey, you know, what if we put together a collaborative model? And, you know, most of them honestly didn't even understand what that was. And got very frustrated and ended up seeing a woman talking on public television about all this new lab space at Moffitt. And I thought, that's what we'll do. We'll go out there and we'll rent lab space and we will, you know, lead our own research and make a difference and, you know, really try and figure this out. And so I went out and spoke to her, and she ended up referring me to a sarcoma surgeon out there. His name was Doug Lutzen, and said, you should really, you know, talk with him. So I circled back, met with him, and he totally understood what I was talking about. He understood collaboration. He understood working together. He understood the plight of children because he operated on many of them from a sarcoma perspective. And that's how the Sunshine Project evolved, was, you know, from that meeting with him. And now, you know, it's just gone gangbusters. It's completely taken off. We, you know, kind of provide the money and the infrastructure, and we have an amazing group of doctors and hospitals that work together to share ideas, to, you know, make a difference for kids.
Okay. And why do you think it's important to enhance and to grow this research for pediatric cancers?
Well, it's just so needed. On a private foundation level, we are really making a difference with the disease, which, you know, you'll see in other diseases as well, because you just can't rely on the government or drug companies to do it. So if we're ever going to positively impact the survival rate of children with cancer, we've got to lead the way. We've got to do it. We've got to get people to work together. We've got to raise awareness and, you know, consequently raise money.
Great. So one thing I like to ask is, what would you say is your biggest piece of advice for other parents that are facing, you know, a cancer diagnosis in their children?
Wow. You know, have faith and do your homework. Make sure that, you know, that your child is getting the most advanced, the most current treatment out there available for their child. It's not just the standard protocol that's been in place for the last, you know, X number of years, that you're actually, you know, doing your homework and you're your child's advocate and you're researching and knowing what doctors are, you know, prescribing and wanting your child to go through, because it's going to impact them for the rest of their life.
To give you a better idea of just how helpful the National Pediatric Cancer Foundation is, we sat down with Will and his mom, Ann, to talk about Will's cancer diagnosis and how research from the NPCF helped him to get back to school and playing basketball.
So I guess just to start, Ann, can you just maybe briefly discuss Will's diagnosis and the treatment that he went through?
Yes, absolutely. William was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia in May of 2017. Thankfully, he got into remission within the first 30 days, which is certainly the goal of all leukemia patients. After that, he went through approximately 8 or 9 months of very intensive treatment, and he's now in what's called the maintenance phase, which allows patients to be able to return to somewhat of a normal life, although you do still receive treatment on a monthly and daily basis.
Okay, great. And Will, can you just maybe tell us a little bit of what it's been like for you, kind of going through treatment and now the maintenance therapies that you're on?
It was kind of hard to know anything at first. I was asking what and how and why did this happen to me. The doctor said, you'll be fine and we'll take good care of you. There were lots of great people at the hospital who worked with me to remove things, like when I had surgery to get my port and how the port would be accessed. They used a stuffed duck to show me how my port would be accessed, and that helped me to better understand things.
Great. And Anne, how else were you able to also help Will kind of understand what was going on at this time?
Well, he's a pro now. He knows exactly what's going to happen when and what all of the various treatments mean. But in the beginning, we were learning right along with him. We would meet with the medical team first to understand the plans and then really walk William through the information and procedures as necessary. And I would think the key part of to all of it was sticking to what was current and not getting ahead of ourselves. It's enough to absorb what was going to happen in the day that you're currently in, let alone jumping ahead and looking out to next week. So I also think that probably a big part of what was successful was letting William make decisions as we went along the way when there was the opportunity to do that. If there were two different ways to do something, he could make that choice, and that made him feel a little bit more in control of our mostly uncontrollable circumstances.
Right. And Will, how do you feel today?
I feel really good. I'm in sixth grade at Queen of Peace Catholic Academy, and I'm so happy to actually be at school this year in person. Last year, I did fifth grade remotely from home, and I really miss my friends, and they miss me.
Aww. And what's your favorite subject?
I like math. This year, I'm in advanced math, and I'm kind of happy about that.
Oh, great. And what are some other things that you like to do, maybe outside of school?
Well, right now, I'm running on the school's cross-country team, and our age group runs a 3K. And my favorite sport is basketball, and the school's tryouts are in 2 weeks, so I'm really excited about that.
Nice. That sounds fun. So, Anne, why do you think organizations like the NCPF are, you know, so important for pediatric cancer and research and all that stuff?
Yes, well, you know, in our hearts, especially as parents, I think we all have a hard time accepting and comprehending that children even have cancer and endure chemotherapy and its harsh side effects. It's truly heartbreaking, and, you know, we surely know that. However, here's something that is not just heartbreaking but should make you mad. There have really only been 4 pediatric-specific drugs developed for cancer in the last 20 years, which compares to hundreds that have been developed for adults. And of the billions of dollars that are spent annually on cancer research, a very small percentage, single digits, are spent towards childhood cancer. So more work is necessary to create lasting and impactful change. And I think that's where NCPF comes in. 88% of every dollar spent at NCPF goes towards the mission of funding research to eliminate childhood cancer. And as a family going through childhood cancer, I find it amusing when they say that childhood cancer is called rare. Frankly, it's anything but that, with 43 kids every day in the U.S. being diagnosed daily. So in my eyes, the National Pediatric Cancer Foundation is out there elevating awareness and funding trials that really make a difference.
And so, Will, you know, looking back, what would you say is the biggest thing that maybe you learned from everything that you've been through with your cancer diagnosis?
When I was in treatment, I found distractions from all the chemo. My cousin gave me an iPad after I was diagnosed and found lots of shows and movies to watch while I was at the clinic or inpatient. I would find shows that had several seasons and shows that made me laugh. It's a good way to pass the time and not focus on what's happening. Also, when we would go to the clinic and have to spend the day, my mom would pack my lunch with all my favorite things. It's sometimes hard to find good food in hospitals, so this made it easier for me to have the food I was craving. And also, I brought always the things that I liked and what were cozy, whatever it is, a blanket or a pillow. It's helpful to have things that make you feel good. I just want to say stay positive and pray and have faith. I'd also tell them that your hair grows back. My hair grew back and it's very wavy and curvy and I have lots of it. So don't worry about that. I also say that I am beating cancer so I can do anything and you can do anything too.
We also had a chance to speak with Brittany, a 6-year-old who was diagnosed with a rare form of liver cancer when she was just 14 months old, and her mom, Vanessa, about how the MPCF's research has helped them.
So, Vanessa, just to kind of start, can you briefly just discuss Brittany's diagnosis and the treatment that she went through?
Sure. So at 14 months old, Brittany had a series of colds and respiratory issues, and we had some antibiotics and things like that and just couldn't seem to shake the colds. And after the second round of antibiotics, she started with some vomiting and high fevers as well. And so we took her into an after-hours clinic who then sent us to the emergency room for imaging, and that's where she was diagnosed with a rare form of liver cancer called hepatoblastoma. And it's very rare. There's about 150 cases in the United States each year, and the chances of Brittany having that as a little girl are about 1 in 1.5 million. So we were struggling to find a specialist for this particular cancer. So we did a lot of research, and we were prepared to kind of relocate to anywhere else that we needed to move and to seek the best treatment for her. We ended up doing treatment locally. Chemotherapy was local. She had 3 rounds of chemo in the beginning, and then we traveled out to Texas to Texas Children's Hospital and had an excellent oncologist and surgeon out there. That's where we had her liver resection done, where they removed the right lobe of her liver, and they also took her gallbladder and then we got to have a cancer-free baby. And then after that, we had one more round of chemo just to clean up anything that might have been left behind. So all in all, it was about 6 months of treatment. And she's been in remission 5 years now.
Great. And with this being just such a rare diagnosis, how did you kind of dissect this and then find information that you needed to kind of learn more?
We were in the hospital over the week before Thanksgiving. So, you know, everyone's traveling, things are kind of moving slowly in the hospital. So we had a lot of time to research on our own, which at the time we didn't realize was a blessing, but it actually was because we kind of, there was no interference. We were able to look up doctors across the United States and figure out who the specialist in the area was. So we resorted to Google, to be honest. And then the stars kind of aligned for us and through a lot of connections through our lives, connections that we've made with people, we actually found someone that was local that we knew from a couple interactions that had a sister who had operated on several of these tumors, and which that's phenomenal to find because it was very difficult to find someone that had seen multiple. Our local hospital hadn't seen one in over a decade. So we just, by the grace of God, found these people that connected us into Texas Children's Hospital.
And Brittany, I know you were very little, but do you remember any of your treatment or how you were feeling at the time or, you know, how things have gone since with all the doctors and all that stuff?
I kind of remember the X-ray room because I remember, like, walking in there with this big screen and lying down this little bed and looking at the screen.
Okay. And so I heard that you now have your own rainbow wherever you go. Can you tell us a little bit more about your rainbow?
No. It represents me as a different child with, represents me as a bigger child, as a cancer child, because other kids don't have that much scars on them at school, and they don't have a little scar on their stomach, so makes me feel like a special person.
That's great. And how are you feeling today?
Good.
Good. And Vanessa, why do you think organizations like the NCPF are important, to help raise awareness?
What we love most about NCPF is their commitment to finding the less toxic treatments for our kids. I was shocked when Brittany was first diagnosed to find out that there's so little funding for pediatric cancer research, and there's so few drugs for these children. They're using old drugs or adult strength drugs and drugs that have terrible side effects. And that was the hardest part for us with her treatment, was having to consent to these drugs being pumped into this baby's body. I mean, the list of side effects is a mile long, and they're all terrifying. So when we found out about NPCF and their commitment to finding the less toxic treatments for these kids, that's when we said, this has to be done. This is what is going to keep a lot of these kids alive. And some of these drugs kill these poor babies before they can even have time to fight the cancer. They're so toxic. So that's why we support NPCF.
Definitely. Okay, I just have one more question for Brittany. So for other little kids that might be going through something like what you went through, is there anything that you want to tell them or any advice that you have for them?
First time, stay happy.
Perfect. That's fantastic.
For more information, visit nationalpcf.org. Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.